In our mailbag this week, your comments about coverage of the war in Iraq.
Rick Palayuka writes from South Windsor, Connecticut. All day yesterday, I watched Iraqis thanking America with tears of joy. And all Dan Shore could talk about that evening was the dread Mr. Bush and Mr. Blair face if the coalition does not find weapons of mass destruction. As Grandma used to say, Dan, have you lost your senses? No amount of political bias, cynicism, or darkened worldview should ever obscure the joy of watching fellow human beings proclaim their freedom from a diabolical dictator. This was a great day for the people of Iraq and for the coalition of the willing.
Patricia Barraza-Voss writes from Delaplaine, Virginia, about our correspondent in Baghdad, Ann Garrels. I live on a horse farm on a hill, she writes, with views of the foothills of the Blue Ridge coming into bloom surrounding me. In other words, I couldn't be farther from the hell that is Iraq at this moment. My life is so peaceful that it borders on insular. Ann Garrels' brave reporting keeps me honest in a way. She reminds us of how this war, beyond the policy debates, beyond the political and military maneuverings, affects humans, children, mothers, sons, journalists, American, Iraqi, Arab, Christian, and by doing so, she keeps us human as well.
Listener Deborah Stevenson writes about our observation yesterday that the bronze statue of Saddam Hussein, toppled in Baghdad, turned out to be hollow. Ms. Stevenson writes, apparently you know little about the making of metal sculpture. No statue of that size would ever be solid, as it is standard procedure to cast large artworks in several sections before welding or riveting the pieces together. I would like to point out that the Statue of Liberty is also hollow.
A correction from Pat House in Phoenix. I was surprised to hear you compare Baghdad to Phoenix. I was even more surprised to hear that the Salt River didn't run through Phoenix. The dry bed of the Salt River does, in fact, run through Phoenix. The last time water flowed down it was 1981.
Finally, from Esme Hoban, a linguist who lives in Wilton, Connecticut, this about our story yesterday from the Gaza Strip and this Arab phrase,
Bukra fil mishmish,
which literally means tomorrow in the apricots. Our reporter Peter Kenyon said that since that season for fresh apricots is so short, Palestinians say the equivalent English phrase would be when hell freezes over. Ms. Hoban writes, I beg to differ.
She continues, a much better choice for an English equivalent would be once in a blue moon, which in this case would have to be adapted somewhat to read when there's a blue moon.
Bukra fil mishmish
is often used to indicate that something will be put off indefinitely. On the other hand, when hell freezes over is a sort of nasty way of saying never. There is a distinction between the two.
Thanks for your corrections and your comments. We read from your letters every Thursday, which is more often than
Bukra fil mishmish.
Our address is atc@npr.org. When you write, please let us know where you're writing from and tell us how to pronounce your name.